Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. Do you live in a condo? How much power do you have? Are you an owner? Are you a renter? Howard Daykoff is a partner in the Community Association's practice of Levenfeld Perlstein Law Firm in Chicago. By the way, Howard, do you live in a condo by any chance?
I do not now, but I did 20 years ago, and I was the first condo board president of my condo association, so I can speak with authority and experience.
Absolutely. And that is not a you don't give any thanks for that job, do you?
It is one of the more thankless jobs, but many people really do donate their time to volunteer for what is most people's greatest asset, to improve the administration and harmonious living of their homes.
So the story out today is that condo associations are now renting out some of their community space to, you know, generate some additional revenue. Would that mean the pool, the community room, green space? What do you have you seen that happen in the past?
So community associations can rent out their common element spaces. Sometimes it's extraneous space in the lobby that may have roadside visibility. Sometimes it's to other owners. Sometimes it's to residents. What I would tell you is it's a way to generate a little bit extra income. And the challenge is it may not be enough to truly offset the assessment burden that associations have, but it's just one line item in the budget of income above and beyond what the owners are assessed in terms of their maintenance and assessment obligations.
I think one of the stories was a common area was going to be utilized to park motorcycles, not necessarily the people who live in that building or that condominium, but others who wanted to park their motorcycles. And of course, I would imagine when it comes to those condominium association board meetings, those type of things get pretty heated.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Lisa. I think the challenge for boards are they have to look at their community uniquely. So if you have an outside parking pad where there may be exterior common elements, letting someone from a neighboring building park their motorcycle on your property may be an okay idea. If you have an interior garage in a high rise, you may not be as open to the security issue of somebody from an adjacent property coming in. So each board has their own willingness as to how much risk there is and how much revenue benefit.
And does everybody have an equal vote?
So in condominium law, the way the condominium regime works is you have the weighted vote of your unit percentage. So in a condominium, let's say there's 100 units, there's going to be different unit percentages based upon how high you are up in the building, whether you have two bedrooms or one bedroom. The larger the unit, the more expensive, the higher the percentage. When you vote as an owner, like for elections or amendments to the governing instruments, you do get one vote, but it is weighted by your unit percentage.
So, Howard, that moment that you served as a condominium board president, did that lead you to, you know, narrow your law practice so that you covered this type of issue?
So, interestingly enough, I was already a community association lawyer, but like many occupations in the world, until you've walked in someone's shoes, you may not be able to fully appreciate what they go through. I knew as a young attorney back then that if I were to volunteer and be on the board and be president, I would have a more candid understanding of the trials and tribulations of a community association. So I didn't go into condo law because I served on the board. I was in condo law and chose to serve on the board so I can really understand what our clients at this firm experience, so I can better give them business advice and legal advice so they can better administer their association.
And one of the biggest things people are facing, I understand, is the choice to sell as a group. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the concept that you're referring to is anecdotally called a deconversion, where a supermajority of the owners vote in favor to sell the entire building. And that forces the minority who may be opposed to the sale to close. So in the city of Chicago, the law is 85% of the unit owners. Statewide, The Condominium Act says it's only 75%. So depending if you're in the city limits or you're outside the city, those are the two percentages, either 75% statewide, 85% in the city. So what this means is if your building is one where you receive interest from a real estate developer who wants to purchase your whole building, the board will present the decision to the unit owners. And if 85% vote in favor in the city of Chicago, it forces the 15% who may have all voted no to sell the building. They have to literally sell their unit at the purchase price set by the purchase agreement. If they are unsatisfied with the purchase price because they don't believe it's market, Illinois law allows them to go through an appraisal process. So they'll never get below market value, but most of these deconversions tend to be above market value. So for instance, you're in a condo building, your unit's worth, make up a number, $400,000. Developers will sometimes offer to buy the whole building in your cut of that big purchase price is usually more than if you were to sell it as an individual. So many owners find this to be attractive. However, if you're an owner-occupant and you've lived in this building for 25 years, your friends are in the community, your doctors are down the street, your favorite restaurants and where you work are down the street, you may not be interested in selling, even if you get a attractive purchase price, because you got to go find something else, and something else may be expensive.
And I would imagine that's when those 15% call you.
So we represent the associations. So we generally represent, if our clients are interested in proposing this to the owners, we'd represent the association side. But there are attorneys who do have a subspecialty of representing the minority owners groups. And those attorneys really can only make sure that the association dotted its I's and crossed its T's and used proper process. If it was properly presented to the owners and the requisite unit owner approval was obtained, the law allows this, so there's no mechanism for the minority unit owners to stop the transaction. Can they delay the transaction? The answer is sometimes. But have they ever been successful stopping it? The answer is no, not to date.
Interesting. Okay, Howard, one last question, because people are texting in, so no. I hope sometime you can come back and address everyone's questions. But
I would love to.
This person said, at our condo association meetings, the board only counts votes of people who attend the meeting rather than getting a ballot filled out from every tenant of the building. Is this legal? Are you required to attend a meeting in order to have a vote?
The answer is no. So there's a little bit of nuance with the question. So unit owners have two ways to register a vote if this is a properly called unit owner meeting. If it's a board meeting, unit owners don't vote. They can attend and observe. If it's a unit owner meeting, such as an election or such as an amendment to the governing instruments, you can either vote by proxy, which means you're not there, but you assign somebody else to show up in your stead and vote, or you can vote in person. So depending on what the issue is, it is perfectly acceptable to attend the meeting and vote. But if you are an owner, not a tenant, but an owner with an ownership interest, and this is one of the meetings that is properly called that you are entitled to vote, you may vote by proxy. And the only caveat is, for some elections, some condo communities have actually adopted a policy called absentee balloting, which is a little bit like our federal elections. You could actually get mailed a ballot. Everybody gets mailed a ballot, and then there's no proxies. Nobody shows up, has to show up to the meeting in person. Everybody can either do an absentee ballot by just mailing it in, or you could show up and vote.
Thank you for joining us, Howard. We appreciate your expertise. We'll have you on again.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Take care, and I would love to come back and educate your audience.
Attorney Howard Daykoff.